Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites. Another opening of
another show. And the beat goes on. The beat of postponement at best or cancellation at worst. Like in so many other spheres, those are the most oft-used words in the theater world at this moment. So as I have done for the past month and a half, I will pass on the latest dire news, and more of it does come every week, along with suggestions of some of the latest offerings from one of our most creative communities. You can now not only stream shows or scenes, you can hear discussions with well-known folks you have watched and admired. You can enter your own scripts and have them judged by professionals. You can partake in reciting Shakespeare. You can even get tips on how to throw the perfect theater party. Virtually, of course. Okay, starting with the not unexpected but still painful announcement from the public theater. Yep, no free Shakespeare in the Park this summer. That one does hurt. Though there is no shortage of ways to watch and learn and even participate in the Bard's work online. Every week, for example, Creative Women New York continues Zoom sessions in which you can listen to and take on a role as the company goes through every one of the man's plays. This Thursday at 5 p.m., they and you will be performing Venus and Adonis. The Brooklyn Academy of Music, or BAM, has called off its future productions, as has New York Theatre Workshop. That one was to present Sanctuary City, a show that I actually reported on here a year ago after hearing a reading of it at Vassar. It's a powerful piece. Hopefully it'll come up eventually. New York Theatre Workshop, in the meantime, is offering Fireside Chats. They are something like master classes with top-notch storytelling. Another popular theatre company, The Vineyard, has ended its season and gotten into the action. It is offering The VT Show, which almost every night at 5 p.m. will offer discussions with some of its past innovators, including Nikki Silver, John Kander, Susan Stroman, and Brandon Victor Dixon. Of course, this goes far beyond New York. Theaters all over the country have stepped up. The Center Theater Group in Los Angeles is now streaming talks with playwright Paula Vogel and many others about their work. And you will enjoy what CTG calls Scenes from the Vault. Who wouldn't want to watch Alfred Molina performing in Red? Also in Los Angeles, the Geffen Playhouse has some fun material up and available for viewing, including a new scene from David Mamet's Glengarry Glen Ross featuring the popular actress Catherine Hahn. No, that role was not originally written for a woman, so that should be worth watching. On the subject of creative casting, by the way, the Roundabout Theater back here in New York City announced its radically reimagined version of 1776, which is not scheduled to happen till 2021. It will debut first at the American Rep Theater at Harvard, directed by Diane Paulus, and that cast, well, let's just say it makes Hamilton look conventional and unimaginative. Every founding father in this one will be portrayed by a woman or a trans, and, well, stay tuned. The trustworthy theater-based sites continue their own form of imagination. Today, Tix gives us the recipe for Zoom hosting a great party for stage fans. Bone up on your Patti LuPone trivia first. And BroadwayWorld.com invites you to sit down and start that play you always wanted to write with an esteemed cast of experts to guide you along the way. Future or frustrated playwrights can actually benefit at this time, and not simply because they are stuck inside with no more excuses. There is so much to watch and learn from the most successful in that field. I went to the 92nd Street Y site, where numerous past conversations and events are offered, and I just watched one with Aaron Sorkin and the original cast of To Kill a Mockingbird, discussing how that show went from tortured beginning to triumph. Sorkin's process is fascinating. He really is a treasure, from TV shows like West Wing to movies including Social Network and Moneyball, and his work on stage, something he doesn't need to do, by the way, but that's where he began, and it's where he still soars. I might also recommend that potential playwrights try the Dramatist Guild website, which presents webinars with professionals. I watched one this past week, and it was raw but fun and enlightening. What do you need to start a play? Published writers were asked. How do you know when it's finished? Risa Brainin, who runs the Launchpad project at UCSB, was there, and she also discussed how students work with seasoned playwrights and end up with finished products. They are called preview productions at UCSB, Brainin explained, because there's no official opening night. Well, that certainly takes the pressure off. Who knows where ideas come from? But if nothing else, all these isolated, unstructured hours leaves one free to ponder and experiment. Penelope Lauder is a fine African-American, relatively new playwright, at least to me, who wrote a 10-minute play for the L.A.-based Skylight Theater's Live Thursday readings. It can be streamed. It's called Water. Where did she get the idea of this virus-themed work? Well, I was standing in line at the market, she said in a Q&A after the reading, and a man walked out with a cart full of waters and other things much needed now, and he had this smug look on his face like, you suckers. Well, that piece may be short, but it manages to combine ethnic and ethics. Finally, I have to share something I came upon this week. A friend sent me documentary maker Ken Burns' commencement address at Stanford of a few years back. Among this man's many memorable words of inspiration, advice, and advice to the students, educate all of your parts. Embrace new ideas. The book is still the greatest man-made machine. Insist that we support science and the arts, especially the arts. They make our country worth defending. Well, Jill, those seem like good words to end on as we move into week 7.
Is it 7 or 6? I've lost count.
I've lost count, too.
It is 7. I think you're right.
Yeah, because it feels like about a month and a half. I don't be going into the, yeah.
So do you have any additional intelligence about plays that were I'm thinking specifically of
Music Man?
That's it.
I thought that might be it. Got a little tip on that one, that it is being rehearsed virtually. And that's probably not unusual. This is the only way people can do anything now. I'm sure there, you know, other plays are doing the same thing, but that is what I heard about that one. That means, it must mean, I guess, Hugh Jackman, they're at his home in Australia.
And they're in New York.
Yeah, they are working, you know, they're talking, yeah. And all the shows are doing this. And when they get their dates, their official, you know, opening dates, well, who knows what's going to happen? You know, I would
just,
say
just without, yeah. Without a pandemic, how complicated. I'm just curious about some nuts and bolts of how complicated it is to postpone something. I mean, are you stuck with your slot? Or
it's
do you?
Incredibly. I talked to somebody yesterday who had a play being developed at the Public Theater, and they were really hoping to get it up before the election. I think, you know, tentatively, like looking at October. Well, you know, the whole public schedule now is thrown out, whether it's Shakespeare in the Park and other plays. So the decisions are so complicated from, you know, the ones that really deserve to get a spot, like Sanctuary, which I mentioned, New York Theater, you know, they'll put that up, but they also have other things slotted in at certain times already. So what do they do? Do they take those ones out, which are already being planned and in schedules and on people's calendars? You know, I think the only arena that may be more complicated right now is a sports arena. You know, they're even talking about doing baseball, you know, without a crowd. I don't know. I think in a way theater, and I've heard this from other people in that world, the theater may be the hardest one to come back, just because how long will it take people to want to sit, you know, in a theater with 1,000 other people, even in a baseball stadium? The players can play without people there, or they can distance the ticket holder. You know, they're finding all kinds of scenarios that could happen in sports. Theater is going to be tough. You know, could you do a play? Could you do the play online rather than it opening if it doesn't get a slot or if it loses its slot? What if they did the whole play online and people paid to see it? I don't know, you know, not to mention actors and schedules that they have, TV shows, you know, I'm sure that's why Virginia Woolf can't come back because its star, Laurie Metcalf, has a TV series. So,
and how are they shooting TV series? Same? 6 feet apart?
I don't, the only thing, my hint on, well, I'm not even sure they're doing it now, except I did start watching The Good Fight, and Christine Baranski, after the second episode, they came on to explain to us viewers, we're sorry, we can't do it next week. We're only going to be able to do it because we're trying to shoot these now a certain way where everybody's up. So that's a rare one. I don't know how they're doing the other ones. I don't think there is any production going on right now. They're putting on pilots that have already been shot. NBC's got they had an entire month of July dedicated to Olympics. That's a lot of hours now to fill.
Right.
You get out old pilots, maybe old shows that didn't sell, or you bring out, like sports is doing, they're bringing out old games, unless you happen to have a 10-hour documentary on Michael Jordan ready to go.
Which ESPN did, and apparently the good news, there are these little threads of light where you all sit down and watch it together, and you're all there's something about a group family inspiration, when it happens to the entire family, the individuation, the enforced lack of individuation is kind of, it will be interesting when the history of this is written.
I agree. Listen, I thought about last night. I'm sitting in our den. I've got my husband over here and my son, my millennial son over there, who is a sports writer. And we're all watching, of course, the Michael Jordan thing. And, I just looked at them and I felt such love and compassion. I love this show, too. I am a sports fan. But, any question I had, they both knew the answers. It was a great, if this hadn't happened, Michael would have been watching it at his place in Brooklyn. And, who knows? But the idea of, doing that together, there must be a new phrase, like pandeming, or I don't know. We're all coming up for phrases. I came up with zooming or zamming because we're doing a jamming session, basically, but we have to do it online. I said, they should call that zamming. So I'm sure there'll be lots of this stuff coming up. Anyway, another week goes by, and I'm sure I'll have more bad news to report next week.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.